Vietnam veteran John Esposito on the show. Good morning, sir, and thank you for your service.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Sergeant E5, U.S. Army, Delta Troop, 2nd 17th Cavalry with the 101st Airborne Division. Tell us about this story of the crash and almost burn.
We were on reaction, and that means that we were on standby in case anybody in the field actually got into contact with the enemy. And a Ranger team did get in contact with the enemy. We were called up. We had to get in the helicopters and fly out to reinforce them. And this particular mission was kind of interesting, as you can see from the description, and I'll try to be brief on it. But basically, we flew out to the Ranger team, which had retreated onto a hilltop, and they were being attacked by the enemy, the North Vietnamese Army. And we came in, and it's called the landing zone, and actually this was called the hot landing zone because we were taking fire as we landed onto the landing zone.
Wow.
We came in. Fortunately, everybody got in okay. The Cobra gunships managed to fire a suppressing fire enough to keep us safe while we were going in. Once we were there, we reinforced the Rangers and took care of everything, made sure that it was secure, made sure they were okay, had ammunition. And then after we got in, I guess the North Vietnamese Army felt that there was a little bit more there than they could handle, so they kind of pulled back a bit. And after a while, everything got quiet. And then we said, okay, well, let's get the heck out of here because we don't know what's going to happen next. So we called for an extraction. They started pulling us out. I was going to be on the last ship because I was a sergeant and I had my guys on the ground. The second to last ship came in, they got on the ship. They started to take off. And as they lifted off, the North Vietnamese opened up with a 51 caliber machine gun and shot the helicopter down on the LZ, crashed about 20 feet down. Fortunately, nobody was killed.
Can you imagine any of this? It sounds like a movie scene where you would be scared to hell to be in the theater watching this happen, right. Let alone life. Being there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you're going through it, it's not, you don't think about what's happening. You think about staying alive and keeping your guys alive. But it's afterwards that you start shaking and getting, what the heck happened, kind
right.
of thing. But yeah, while you're going through it, you're focused on what has to be done to stay alive.
Right, your reaction. Yep.
Right, and your training kicks in too. You know, your military training. That helps you stay alive because you're focusing on loading your ammunition, keeping your people correct, staying down, keeping your head down, that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was a pretty intense mission. So then when they shot the helicopter down, they started attacking us because they miscalculated and thought that that was the last helicopter. They didn't realize that we were still on the ground. So they thought they would just shoot it down, come in real quick, and capture the guys who were on the helicopter. But they didn't realize that it was still more of us on the ground, and we were able to put up a defense and hold them off. But the problem was that we were running low on ammunition ourselves. The Cobra gunships were running out of ammunition. In fact, one of the Cobras used up his last rockets to shoot the 51, to take the 51 out so it wouldn't keep firing on us. And then the Cobra commander called me on the radio and said, we've got jets available. They're coming in to help us. And I'm like, "What? Where'd jets come from?" Turns out that we lucked out. They were on their way to Hanoi to bomb Hanoi. And they were in our area, and they heard the Cobra commander on the radio, and they said, "Yeah, we can divert over to help you guys." And I said, "That's fine with us. Come on in."
So yeah, really?
You are absolutely welcome to this party.
Right, yeah. The
yes.
fact I'm yelling at you, yes,
down.
Yes.
Come on down.
Yeah, this is not a private party.
Yeah, no.
Come
no.
on in.
No, come on.
We can use
right.
some of what you got.
Right, yeah. BYOB, bullets.
Any help we can get will be appreciated, right?
Yep.
So
can I ask you, John, do you think that if they weren't running that mission at that time, do you think that we would be on the phone with you right now?
No.
Well,
they would have overrun us.
Cause
they were the difference between me being here now and me not being here now. Right.
It's unreal, man.
Thank God for that.
And, you know, it's amazing how these, yeah. Right, how these coincidences work and you end up surviving. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so they said, where do you want the bombs? And I popped smoke and said, you know, downhill from where we are.
What do you mean, pop smoke? You're throwing smoke grenades?
Yeah, smoke grenade.
Right.
That's
what a pop smoke someplace else.
So if you're the enemy and you see smoke grenades coming in.
Uh-oh.
Well, one, it's going to be their, you know, my enemy's probably moving.
Yeah.
And two, if you hear airplanes, it's like, oh, damn it, now they know where to drop the bombs.
Yes.
Yeah, it could be a bad day.
That could be a bad day. But, you know, they were dropping 500 and 1,000 pound bombs instead of 250 pound bombs that normally would use for tactical air support because they were going to Hanoi.
Yeah.
So when they started dropping them, now I have a better appreciation for the term close air support.
I was going to say you're probably a little bit closer to these bombs than you want to be.
Yeah.
A lot closer than you want to be, right?
You must feel them, right? Like I'm like throw you around.
Well, the concussion knocks you right down into the ground.
Wow!
And then, of course, your ears are ringing, and you know you're ducking rocks and dirt and trees and everything else that's flying around.
So, would you say I don't want to compare it to a movie, but would you say it's similar to the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan?
From an intensity point of view, yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it was pretty crazy. And then, so they bombed the heck out of the area around us, and then they had one. The guy said, "I have one bomb left. Well, where do you want it?" I said, "Just doesn't matter. You're blown to bits anyway. They just throw it down the trail where the NVA were coming up." So he dropped that one, and it didn't go off. It was a thud.
Oh.
So I said, "All right, fine." So everything got quiet now because they had just bombed everything around us. So the Ranger team came back in. The Ranger team, we were pretty nutty, but the Ranger team were totally insane because these guys were got in the middle of nowhere with six guys in the middle of enemy territory, and they never knew what they were going to come up against. So they came back in. They climbed over the helicopter that was shot down and came back
in. Can you believe this?
Unreal.
Oh, yeah, this is
just this scene.
Yeah.
How long from the beginning of this to the end of this story? Like, how many minutes do you think this whole thing lasted?
Well, I mean, from the time we hit the ground to the time we got pulled out was probably a half a day.
Okay.
Jeez.
This went on for a while. Okay.
Just this one chapter in your book.
Yeah.
Right.
Yet to be completed would be a movie. Just this one chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess so because of the intensity of it. Yeah.
I think so.
Wow.
So these Rangers start climbing over the helicopter that was shot down.
Yeah, and they come back in, and he said, "Hey," he said, "boy, you guys had too much fun here. We're going to go out and check everything out."
That's when you know you're dealing with nutbags.
Yeah.
We're not going to let you guys have all the fun.
Oh, no, we want fun, too.
Right.
Yeah. That's wild.
So they went back into the jungle, and they was, you know, reconnaissing to see what the bomb damage was and if they could find any NVA prisoners or, you know, count the bodies kind of thing. So those guys were pretty crazy. That was the L Company 75th Rangers. They were really crazy people.
Have you ever? Did you ever hear from them again?
They attend our reunions every 2 years.
Nice. That's great.
Very nice.
Yeah, we have a reunion every 2 years. We're a pretty close knit group because of the kind of stuff that we went through. So,
John Esposito's on Sergeant E5 U.S. Army Delta Troop 2nd 17th Cavalry with the 101st Airborne Division. Talking about this, what's going to be a book at some point.
A good book. Really good book.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to someone helping you finish this thing.
Yeah.
So the Rangers go off into the woods, and then what happens next?
Well, then I heard a whining sound, and I'm like, what the heck is that? So I looked around, and it turns out when they shot the helicopter down and it crashed, the engine didn't shut off, and the crew chief didn't shut it off. And the crew chief and his guys got out. The helicopter that was supposed to pick us up picked them up and got them out.
Ugh.
So the engine's running on the helicopter. So I don't know how to turn off an engine on a Huey, so I disconnected the battery. That didn't work. I got on the radio, said, how do I turn this thing off? They said, well, there's a fuel valve. Shut the fuel off. I couldn't do it.
Right.
So one of their crew chiefs came back.
As you're doing this, is everyone, like your enemy, they're all done? Or is that still a concern?
Right, folks are firing you.
Well, it was still a concern. I mean, that's why my security team was still out and the Ranger team was out. But, and, I mean, I guess the guys did a pretty good job bombing the heck out of them because they never returned fire after that.
Gotcha. But it's still unknown. Like, you don't still know.
At this point,
right,
yeah.
As you're doing all
you
this.
You don't know it's over yet, right. And now you're trying to turn off this helicopter.
Right. And I got to get the helicopter turned off so I can get it rigged up to get out so we can get the other ships in because no other ships can come in.
Oh, it's blocking.
It's blocking the landing.
Wow.
So I was like, why just leave it there? I'm like, okay. That's the reason.
Yeah, I couldn't leave it there because we couldn't get out.
Right.
So the crew chief came back, and he shut it off in like 10 seconds. And I said, okay, fine. Now I know how to do it the next time. But I don't want to ever have
I don't want to have a next time. But okay. If I do, now I know where the button is.
Right. That's the ignition switch.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Where the off switch is, right. So... He and I started rigging up the helicopter. We couldn't do it through the rotor head because the engine was shattered off the frame of the helicopter. So we had to rig it around the body of the helicopter. So we did that. We started working on that. I'm up on top of the helicopter with the crew chief, and we're rigging it up to get picked up so we can get it out of here, so we can get out of here.
What are you going to pick it up with? With another helicopter?
Yeah, a twin blade. It's called a Chinook.
Okay.
It's a twin, very large helicopter.
It's like an egg beater, no?
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah, a twin rotor.
Twin rotor.
Right.
Okay.
It's a heavy-duty lift helicopter, cargo helicopter.
Oh, okay. I was thinking one of those small ones. Yeah.
No, this is a pretty heavy-duty helicopter. And they're capable of lifting up a Huey with no problem once it's rigged up. So we're rigging it up, and I'm on top of the helicopter, and the Ranger team guys come back and said, "Well, you guys did a good job. There's a whole bunch of dead people out there."
Said, well, that's not well, great. Not
yay. High fives.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a weird thing to hear in the same sentence,
right.
You know, but
right.
But in that right. moment, it is the truest thing ever. Like, good, because they were going to kill us, and
right.
we would also be dead.
When someone's trying to kill
that's
you,
right.
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. It's you or them, right.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
how old are you during all this, John?
Let's see. I was 23.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I was 23, and I had gotten out of college, got drafted, and then I ended up in the infantry, and ended up in this unit because of my MOS, my military occupational specialties, because I had three of them. I was infantry, I was indirect fire and mines, and I was anti tank and demolitions. Those
damn.
Are my MOS. So
quite the resume.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So you rig up the helicopter, you got it moved?
Yeah, then the Ranger team guys come back and say, "Hey, we found this unexploded bomb out there, and we put some C4 on it, we're going to blow it up."
Right.
I said, like, why bother? It's who cares?
Right.
Said, well, we didn't want to hang it around. So I said, when is it going to go off? And he said, right about now. And when he did that, it went off.
Like a cartoon. three,
hey,
two,
can you wait
one.
Until we get this helicopter, boom. Like, back down on the ground that we just,
right.
yeah.
Yeah, right, right. So, yeah, I was up on top of the helicopter, and I got hit by the blast. And the last thing I remember was a big chunk of tree coming at me and hitting me in the head and knocking me out and knocking me off the helicopter.
Oh.
So that was pretty crazy. I woke up, you know, kind of dizzy and people looking at me going like, you okay?
Well, you were hit by a tree,
no.
So.
So after that, I was kind of woozy, and the crew chief and I still had a finish, but we got it all done.
It's just another moment you could have died.
Yeah.
And there are so
right.
many moments in that short period of time that you could have died.
That
like,
a day.
Probably
yeah.
At least 1,000 different ways.
Wow.
And then
yeah.
tree hits you in the head.
Right.
Right. And knocks me off the helicopter, right.
It would be just an odd thing if they went through all of these people
right.
are dead. This one bombs, bullets. This one flames. This one was hit in the head with a tree.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Just and after the good guys had, you know, took control of the area.
Right, taken up by a sapling, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Now, you never know. It's very dangerous
you
out there.
You never know.
Yeah.
So we got it all rigged up. Now it's getting dark, so the Chinook come in after dark, and we rigged it up and hooked it up to his cargo hook, and then he took it away. And then the rest of the ships came back and picked us all up. And fortunately, it was no other enemy activity at that point because they had just been blown to pieces by these bombs.
Had to be hairy, though, doing that at night once it gets dark out. And now, like, all right, here we go. We're going up in the air.
Yep.
Right, right. And then you're getting the rotor wash from a twin-rotor helicopter. You're standing up on a helicopter trying to hook the thing up to the cargo hook on the bottom of the helicopter. It was pretty wild.
Nothing's
wow.
Easy.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. Yeah. You're on top of the helicopter, a twin. You go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you were on that, and you were hit by the tree while you were on it. And so if you were knocked left or right, would you have been turned to, like, confetti?
No. This was before the Chinook came.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Way before
right.
that.
Gotcha.
We were still bringing it up. It was still daylight. But it took us so long to hook it up and for them to get a Chinook available to come in that by the time he came in, it was nighttime.
Wow.
So then he picked it up, pulled it out, and then, of course, they finished the extraction, pulling us all out and getting us all out safely.
Wow.
Fortunately, guys were hurt, but nobody got killed. A couple of guys got really hurt in the crash, and some of the Rangers got pretty intensified wounds when they were down on the ground themselves because they were only six guys against who knows how many. I mean, the line unit came in a couple of days later, and they found 15 bodies, NDA bodies, out there, and that's how many that were killed.
Wow,
I'm sure when the jets started dropping those 1,000-pound bombs, that the rest of them said probably a good time to leave.
Exactly right. And there's probably some pieces also. Somewhere.
Yeah, there were probably a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Well, it's pretty intense when a jet comes in. You don't realize it, but you feel like a vacuum. It is actually a pressure wave of the jet approaching because it's coming in at, 400 miles an hour.
Ooh.
And it's got a pressure wave coming in advance of it, and you actually feel that when it comes in. It was something I never experienced and never even thought about before.
All of the sounds and intensity and death and impacts that you experienced in half a day, no one should experience in an entire lifetime.
Right. That was just one day.
It's just a half a day.
That was just one day and one mission. I went on 26 air missions all told. And because we were in reconnaissance and Ranger support, we got shot at in 24 of them because the enemy was already there or waiting for us, or they didn't like us there. We were in the middle of their territory and they didn't like it.
Right.
But that was our mission. Was to go in and do reconnaissance and find out what was going on in the enemy.
Yep. Unreal.
The other stories I have are pretty intense, like this one too. But
well, we'll revisit with you to get some of those. And man, this should be written.
It
about.
Should be,
this
yes.
should get into a book. Yeah.
I'm glad you're with us to share.
Yeah,
seriously.
Man. John.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm here the same way. As I tell people, you never know how close you came to never meeting me.
Yeah. Multiple times in just that half a day.
Yeah.
Let alone all the other missions. John, thank you for your service to the country. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing that with us. Appreciate it.
Okay. And again, thank you for inviting me, and I hope this gives some people a perspective of what some of the Vietnam veterans went through.
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You too.